Imagine there's a door in your house that you only ever open long enough to throw something else into the room beyond. For storage, or safekeeping, or to figure out how to deal with later. Maybe something you keep because someone else entrusted it to you, and you won't let them down. Or you've had it so long that you don't know how to get rid of it anymore. You know the room beyond the door is full, but there seems to be nothing to do but to keep filling it up. Until one day, when, because of necessity or inspiration, or even a mix of boredom and curiosity, the day has come. The day to open the door and to look inside. To examine everything that your life has shelved or scattered or piled against corners, and to ask of each item or puddle or pile, what is this doing here? Does this activity still fulfill me or strengthen my family? Is this relationship in need of any mending or tending or letting go? Does this thing that I still believe about myself match the word of grace or the word of calling that God is trying to speak to me? Does this image of God from my younger years still resonate with my experience? Or when it stopped making sense, did I let it grow dusty instead of richer in color? Does the dust of nostalgia or the rust of disuse enhance any of the things I find in this room? Or maybe everything seems to be in prime working order, except they've started running into each other and exploding out the door of your life. Lent is the season to be brave enough to open that door on the content of our lives, and to imagine it down to the emptiness of a desert, where we can look at each thing we give space to in our lives and ask, what is this doing here? I know it can feel impossible to trust ourselves to the emptiness of the desert when our lives are often so full. Where is the desert when I'm racing back and forth to 5 meetings in 2 weeks in Waterloo? Or when you're cramming for schoolwork, or chauffeuring children, or caring for aging parents, or both of those things and more. Life is a wilderness, all right, but not always the desert kind. We don't trust the desert because how will everything get done in all of that emptiness? One thing at a time is not efficient. Our bravery is not only in opening the door and looking at our lives, but in trusting all of its contents into God's hands, and not only our own. Even if that means trusting God to do some house cleaning, telling us what it is we need to take to the curb. So with Jesus, we're heading into the wilderness. It's the kind of wilderness that I remember from some parts of hiking through the Galilee, a broad and rocky expanse, at times stark and barren, until looking more closely and discovering life that was unfamiliar to me, but is both recognizable and new. You may have noticed that Mark's gospel doesn't outline the 3 temptations of Jesus that Matthew and Luke describe. Maybe Mark's in a hurry, or maybe the temptations are as much about what Jesus will face as they are about what we will face. So like Jesus, we also go into the wilderness, not with nothing, but with one thing, a promise. You are my child, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. We do not go into the wilderness alone, because even the wildness, the emptiness, the insecurity of that wilderness, even that is a landscape of covenant with God. This year, once again, the scriptures of Lent will show us a gallery of God's covenants with the earth and with people. Covenants tell us something about the character of God. They remind us that everything we're doing here is predicated on a commitment we've made to God's faithfulness and steadfast loving kindness. At the heart of all the contradictions we experience in life, the paradoxes we find in Scripture, we return to trust that God is in the end reliable and will come through. And in Scripture, the covenants we find start wide, and then they zoom in to the specific. And then, well, we'll get there. In the story after the flood, God's covenant is not only with Noah or with his family. It is an everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth, including the duck-billed platypus. All future generations of every living creature. God is on the side of the entire creation. God has promised to abide in relationship with the entire creation, never abandoning it to destruction. What does this mean when it follows the mass destruction of the tale of the flood? Is this the emptiness, the cleansing, the wilderness of water that we must trust to God's hands? Before the flood, it is written that God saw that human hearts were constantly turned toward violence. We need no more reminder of this than one more school shooting in Florida this week, and the steadfast refusal to make policy changes about guns in the U.S. God was sorry for having made humankind. I heard some of the voices of the parents of those murdered high school students this week, and the students themselves who were remembering their classmates. I heard anger and pain, raw grief. I heard one parent who cried out for the death of the shooter. I am neither agreeing with capital punishment nor making a direct comparison to our scripture, but in that raw voice of grief, can we not imagine the echoes of the grief of a God whose children are killing each other? God's children are killing each other. And God was sorry for having made humankind. And yet, despite human violence, despite our violence, not only the violence in schools, the violence in process, the violence of keeping people out of churches, despite our violence, there is something God deems worthy of redeeming. And as in the mythologies of many ancient civilizations, we are given the story of a flood, a starting over, a new wilderness from which life will grow again. And in that wilderness, God makes a covenant with all that God sees. And all that will be born thereafter, all that will grow thereafter. A covenant between me and you and every living creature and all generations that we will not come to this again. And with God's bow of war set in the sky facing away from the earth, it is seen by all. Humankind will no longer be defined by violence. Within a covenanted creation, a covenant people is born. And covenant people are defined by God's commitments to us. It's God's promises that tell us who we are at our core. The campus pastor at Goshen College reflects on this year's Lent theme, and how it explores the subtle dynamics born of spoken and unspoken covenants that make up our lives. Covenants with God, with others, with the earth. She reminds us that within these covenants, beauty and struggle and pain often go hand in hand, leading us to deeper compassion, deeper awareness, deeper love. The covenant with Noah begins wide, so there is as much room as we need, and sometimes even more than we'd like, for both the beauty and the struggle born of our relationships and our covenants with God, with others, and with the earth. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has written about how we have inherited a large house, a great world house, in which we must learn somehow to live with each other in peace. And reflecting on this, Goshen College President Rebecca Stolzfus writes, "The closeness of our neighbors, the raw and ever-present exposure of ourselves on social media, our burgeoning population on a planet that is our green and blue boat in the vast ocean of the cosmos, we are on the ark." King's contemporary, James Baldwin, wrote, "It is for this reason that love is so desperately sought and so cunningly avoided. Love takes off the masks that we fear we cannot live without and know we cannot live within." Love takes off the masks. We fear to take off our masks. We fear to enter the wideness of the wilderness. We fear to stand there unprotected, with nothing between us and God, or us and others. But God has made a covenant between us, a covenant that defines us by God's promise to hold all of creation in God's hands. God breaks into our world, dividing the sky with a bow as a reminder and tearing the heavens open to say, "Yes, you are my child. You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased. With you I am still well pleased." Open the door. Enter the wilderness. Love is there. Let's pray. We're at the door, God, at the threshold of the wilderness. Place your hand on ours to reach for the door. Open it wide so we can enter into your love. Amen.